So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Welcome everybody, Dan Latto speaking. Feels like ages since we've been live, but it was because on Friday we had a client here in Spain doing one of our two-day war room events, which they got lots out of, thankfully. But the weather wasn't very nice and that kind of thing, but it was okay. We got through everything that we needed to get through. Anyway, welcome to the Business Growth Show. In this episode, I'm going to talk to you about why most businesses never get beyond the solopreneur stage. And I'm sure if this is you, you know exactly what it feels like. You do the sales, you do the marketing, you sweep the floors, you put the kettle on, you you deliver the product, you do everything. And that's basically why most people never get beyond the solopreneur stage. They're just so busy doing everything. And so whilst it's one thing to identify what's going on here, there's something else to do with how do you get beyond the solopreneur stage. And by the way, if you've got any comments, then please let me know. Please say hi. Let me know that you're in here. If you've got any questions about being a business owner or solopreneur or how you get around it or any particular aspect of your business, then please let me know and I can answer it for you. So if you are a solopreneur, so what do I mean by a solopreneur? So every time I say solopreneur, I think of Han Solo. But a solopreneur is somebody who is working on their own. They might be working from their home. They might have an office, but it's just them in their office. It's quite lonely. Your Christmas do is basically just you wearing a paper hat and a cracker, and you sat on your own and you're having your Christmas do. You might be doing networking events, but you might be a mortgage broker, for example, or you might be a property investor. They're generally solopreneurs. You go to networking events and that kind of thing, but it's very lonely existence. In my business, I'm not a solopreneur, so I'm very lucky, but I've got a team of people that, you know, from the property side, we've got handymen and cleaners to go in and do move-ins, move-outs, and all the bits in the middle. And then on the content marketing business, we've got someone who's in charge of delivery. And then as a subsection of that delivery, we've got people who actually create videos and images, schedule the content and all of that good stuff. So I'm definitely not a solopreneur. However, most of the time I actually operate as a solopreneur. So when I identify what tasks need to be done, I simply pass them on to somebody else. So I'm not doing the solopreneur tasks. And so when we start off at looking at how do you get beyond being just you in a business, you've got to identify what the tasks are. And so let me just use this. I use my goal setting stuff. So that's on there. You can't really see it very well because of the reflection of the light. But I've got a task management system and I identify what tasks need to be done. But then I also identify who's going to be the person to actually do those tasks. And it's not me. I don't want it to be me. I'm just a bottleneck. I come up with a great idea and then, you know what, it takes me ages to implement it, depending what it is. It can take ages to implement. Sometimes I get the idea and I implement it straight away, but other times it can take me ages. And I'm actually best off working through the ideas and then going, okay, this person or this team needs to be starting to implement this. And if you've not got anybody on your team right now, you're going to be a solopreneur for a very long time. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you go out and you recruit 20 people all in different aspects. We've got clients right now and we are part of their team. They recruit us for all of their digital marketing. In fact, we've got a client we're talking about this morning. They've got a product and they're selling a lot, thousands of pounds of his product. And the reason they're selling thousands of pounds of his product is their marketing is amazing. And the reason their marketing is amazing is because we're the ones doing it for them. They don't do the marketing themselves, or they do a little bit. But they use us to complement their marketing and then they send a load of stuff out and then they close a load of business. So they have a team, but you've got to start building up your team. Like I say, you don't have a 20-person team straight away. It could be one person, an hour a day, 5 days a week, £10 an hour. So that's 50 quid a week, £200 a month. It's not a huge amount of money and you can decide what you want that person to do. So, for example, you might get that person hitting the phones, going through the database. Hi, it's Bob. I'm calling from Dan's office. I noticed that you're on the mailing list. Why are you on Dan's mailing list? What are you looking for? What can he help you with? Something like that would work very well. Or if you're in a mortgage broker's business, employing somebody just to make those outbound phone calls. Obviously, you've got compliance to get through. But it doesn't matter what you are. If you're a painter and decorator, you need to go through your phone book and your you know, if you haven't got a database, you need a database. And then you need to start phoning up everybody in that database. Christmas is coming. Have you got any jobs that you're doing for Christmas? When you get past Christmas and we're into New Year, do you want to make the house look really good? Maybe a spring clean, you know, in March, April. Now you're starting to book some of these jobs in March and April. And they go, well, no, I'm fine for March and April, but actually over summer we're on holiday for 2 weeks and was thinking about getting the whole house repainted. Perfect. And if they're not thinking of that, you should be putting those calls in, or you're recruiting somebody else to put those calls in, going, are you going on holiday? Do you want us to come in and, you know, do you want the bathroom redoing? Do you need it tiling? Do you want a new bathroom suite? Like, you should be hitting the phones. There's no question about that. I'm not a great believer in cold calling, however, but people who've either already done business or already expressed an interest or they're already on your mailing list, and you can even send them an email saying, hey guys, next week we're going to hit the phones. Give you a call, see where we can help. If you don't want to wait, why not give us a call back? Here's a phone number, and let's see how we can help you. Perfect. That's very business orientated in terms of bringing in income. Let's have a look. Hi, Dan. I am here, and I am learning from this training. Awesome. If you can put your name in there, that's really useful for me, just so I know who's actually watching. It's always nice. But it's this idea that you shouldn't be doing everything yourself. You should be getting other people to do it. So if you've got a question about this, then please ask. This is meant to be interactive. You're more than welcome to ask any question, and I'll answer it to the best of my knowledge, skills, and ability. But you shouldn't be the person sweeping up, making a coffee, making the cold calls, creating content, writing copy. I remember working for my mum and dad, not working for them, but helping them on their marketing. They were wedding photographers and portrait photographers in Leeds. And they'd do a new leaflet. And every time they'd do a new leaflet, they'd write on the copy and change this one, change that one. And I was just thinking, you know, what's crazy? Why the hell are you doing it? And then you go out to the leaflet company and you get the leaflets printed, and then you got to organize the drop. Like, that should be just outsourced. Somebody else should be doing that entirely while you're pushing the button. The money for that person is on pushing up the button. We just had another conversation this morning with another client, and I'm like, you know, you should be doing what the best thing for you to be doing is. I didn't say that very well. You should be doing what you're good at, in other words. If you're good at speaking to people and closing business and you're crap at everything else, then you should just be speaking to as many people as possible on the phones or in real life face-to-face. You shouldn't be doing all this external stuff. And so you've got to start looking at what can you do to stop doing all this external stuff. So now you're just doing this one thing. In fact, on the client that came over, he was doing everything, all sorts of things, and getting nowhere. And so we got rid of all this extraneous stuff, and we got him just to do this one thing. Just do this one thing, do this one thing well, and you make a lot of money. But what about this? Now, forget that. What about this? Now, forget that. Well, what about it? Now, forget all of that. Just do the one thing. If you just do the one thing and you do it well, you're going to make a lot of money. And then all this extra extraneous stuff, you don't need to do that. Let other people do that who are good at dealing with that. And sometimes that's, you know, introducing people and letting them close the business. Sometimes it's you acting to generate interest and then passing them on. And we had a conversation, actually, when I used to work for I was internal sales, which basically meant that I was on the phones, and then I got promoted and I was external sales, which was field sales. And then I got a car and I drove around to meet customers. And I remember creating a document, and it was about backing up your data, because it was an IT company, and it was a company. It was about how many businesses go bust when you haven't got backed up data within 5 years. It's like 75% of them. It's an awful lot. So I photocopied that, sent out 20 letters, and we got a couple of responses and went and met them, closed a bit of business. Brilliant. But the problem with that is that I was the person that was doing it all. Now, this was, when was this? This was 18 years ago, more or less, maybe 19 years. This is before Facebook, before Instagram, before, you know, we had email, but people didn't really use it like we do today. We had YouTube was kind of only just existing, so people really didn't use that. But we had CDs and we had cassettes. And, you know, looking at this now, like, we're going to convert this into a podcast so now people can listen to it. And if I'd have gone back 20 years ago, I would be recording this via the microphone. I'd be putting it onto a CD and I'd be sending it through the post. So here's 15 minutes for you to listen to on the way home from work. Brilliant. Have 1,000 of them cut. Like, the commission on the business was huge anyway. Easy peasy. And it wouldn't have been me doing it. It would have been somebody else that I'd have recruited on a much lower wage. I don't think there was even minimum wage in those days. So you could have got a 15-year-old to do it, pay them £2 an hour. I'm not suggesting you do that. But you could have created something while you're focusing on handling the phone calls and getting an appointment setter. Why did I not get an appointment setter when I worked at Dell? I had an internal, and he was dealing with closing business that I helped generate, but I should have had an appointment setter, an introductory letter, some special offer, an event. I should have been running all of this. I didn't know what I didn't know back then. Obviously, we know it now. But back then, I was doing everything myself. It was crazy when I look back at that. And so now, in 2019, going into 2020, I do very little in my business. I was watching this thing just a few days ago with Steve Jobs on Netflix, and Steve Jobs is the conductor of the orchestra. He needs trombones. He points at the trombone guy, and the trombone guy plays. He needs drums. He points at the drums lady, and she plays. He points at the string section, and the string section coming to life, and they play. And that's what you should be running your business as. You are the conductor of your own orchestra. And you should be telling people what you want and when and how they should be playing it, because you're the one in charge. And that right there, my friends, is where the magic happens. You could have the best trombone player on the planet, but unless you're conducting the orchestra, that trombone player is lost in a sea of noise. And so by you bringing it all together and creating what you want and when, that's how you do it. That's why conductors get paid a lot of money. Don't get me wrong, everyone else gets paid money too, but they get paid the most money and the most recognition. Your trombone player doesn't get pointed. In fact, for Tom, the trombone player, it doesn't happen. Who comes on and takes a bow? It's the conductor. The conductor takes a bow at the start and at the finish, and it's his name in lights, not the trombone player, not the drums player, not the triangle player. Frank Bruno, if you remember that advert. Going back some time there. This is what you should be in your business. We've got a comment come through. Let's see what this is. I'll look at that in a second. So this is what you should be doing, is you should be conducting your own orchestra. And the problem for most people is that you're the conductor of your orchestra, and then you go trombone, and then you run off, you pick up the trombone, and you're playing your trombone, and then you go triangle, and you pick up the triangle, and you go ding, and then drums, and you run off the drums, and you have to do the drums. It's crazy. Imagine that in an orchestra. Just wouldn't work. And yet, in business, for some reason, it is totally fine. Let's have a look. I don't know how you pronounce your name. I want to pronounce it Sade, but that's the singer. It could be Sade. I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyway, I'm a very organized person. Where or how do we systemize things? Is there a mind map or software that we can help do this? Excellent. And yes, there is. There is in my mastermind training. I will get you some access. Are you in a Facebook group, by the way? Because if you're in a Facebook group, I can get you some access and upload the video into it. It's called the Friday Night Review System. Let me know where you are. Send me a message and I'll send you a link to it. But yes, Friday Night Review is a time management system that I use to get myself organized. But organizing through time management is actually organizing just time. The first step for you, you put yes. I assume you're in the Facebook group, so I'll upload it to the Facebook group, the link. The first time that you start to plan this, you've got to work out what are the skills that you're good at, okay? You've got to know what you're good at. My pleasure. So you've got to know what you're good at. When you know what you're good at, get yourself a sheet of paper, which I have intrigued on here, a sheet of paper, and write down, you know, I would write down on one hand you, and then... So right here, you've got you up here. And then on these, you've got maybe four different sections going down here. And so you might have marketing. Who's going to do that? Who's the best person for that? Sales. Who's the best person for that? Delivery. Who's going to be the best person for that? Accounts. Who's the best person for that? So this is where you write down, this is you over here. This is a list of what you're good at. And then here, you need to identify who's going to be doing the delivery of the product. So, for example, in our content marketing business, I'm not very good at delivering the product. I know what the product should be. I know what we should be delivering, but I'm not the best person to deliver that. The guy who's got 10 years creating videos, he's the best guy to be creating those videos, not me. The woman who's got 5 years experience in scheduling content, she's far better at scheduling content than I'm going to be because I'm useless at that kind of thing. So you've got to identify who are the best people to do the best jobs. Then you need to identify what are you good at. And so you might be good at going live. You might be good at the sales aspect, or you might be good at booking appointments or closing on the appointment. So if you're good at booking appointments, your task should be booking appointments. So what's the best way for you to do that? Is it hitting the phones? In which case you need to hit the phones. Do you need someone else to hit the phones and warm them up? I just turned down a phone call with Ty Lopez a couple of days ago because they want to be in this investment thing and I have to put a grand down and I'd rather spend that grand elsewhere. But Ty didn't phone me himself. He had somebody else that made those phone calls to warm me up and then I get on a phone call with Ty. That's exactly how it should be. So it's not Ty Lopez going out and doing everything himself, but he does do the marketing himself. Because that's what he enjoys, that's what he's good at, and his face has to be on everything, just as that's how I do my marketing. My face has to be on everything as well. So is that what you're good at? And if it's not, then you need to get somebody else to do the marketing on your behalf. So on the phone calls to people who are already on your database, hi, my name's Bob. I'm calling on behalf of the Daniel Latto Group. Dan's asked me to give you a quick call just to see if everything's okay, see if it can help you in any way. Perfect. Now that's Bob making that phone call, not me. And actually, it's easier for Bob to make that phone call than it is for me to do it because it's just easier selling other people's stuff than it is to sell your own stuff, which, by the way, is why you don't want to be doing it all yourself in the first place either, because it's much, much harder. So what are you going to do in terms of outsourcing? You need to identify the bits that you're good at and the bits that you're not good at. Then you need to establish some form of budget. So how much money can you afford to spend on allocating some of this stuff? And when you've allocated the budget, how much of that, if they're successful, can you get back? So what I mean by that is if you're allocating £10 a day, so that's 1 hour a day, 5 hours a week, that's £200 a month. You know, five times 4 weeks is 20, times £10 is £200. So if you've got someone hitting the phones, you need them to make £200 a month. So if they're selling a £400 product, brilliant. They might even sell two a month. Now you're £800 up. Now you can pay that person twice as much or three times or four times as much to make three or four times as many phone calls. Now you're starting to generate £1,600 a month. Now you can put some of that into marketing. And so this is how you grow the business effectively. So it starts off being really, really small by identifying some of the small bits that you need to start doing, some of the small aspects in your business that you need to start implementing. And then when you've started getting that, you're looking at your return on investment, and that's how your business grows. And it can't just be stuff that's productive. It's got to be stuff like accountancy, management accounts, you know, that kind of thing, being able to put you in a position where you can look at the numbers. It could be training, it could be books that teach you how to look at the numbers so that you become a better business person. Reading a book, I've just read a really good book. It's talking about how people have a default when we're looking at people lying. We tend not to believe people who are lying. We tend to trust them first. That's the default setting. Very, very interesting. And, you know, obviously in politics right now, there's all sorts of lies going on. But very interesting. But there's not an immediate return on investment on that, but there is further down the line. Now, I need that, but I might not need it immediately. I need to know it at some point. So you've got to work out what do you need first? What's the most pressing thing? And the way in which you work it out is how many phone calls are you getting? How much money are you making? How many conversions are you failing at? Like, if you're making phone calls and getting people on the phone, awesome. What's the next step? Well, the next step is I'm not converting anyone. Great. Now you need to start looking at that. Or actually, I made a load of sales last week, but the whole delivery thing has gone a mess because I can't scale it. Perfect. Now you know what the problem actually is, and then you can actually work out what's what and what you need to do. And that will do us for today. 20 minutes coming up to it. I hope that's useful for you. If you listen to a podcast, then give us a 5-star review. We love those. And we're going to catch up with you on Wednesday in a property cash flow show. Come and join me at daniellatter.co.uk/mastermind. Come and join me in the mastermind group, and we'll answer any questions you've got on property. Until then, have a good week, and we'll speak to you soon. My name's Dan Latter. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.